Street at Today SOR.
It's one of the world's fastest growing holiday types, traditionally the preserve of older, less mobile holiday makers. They're now catering to everyone from families to honeymoon couples and, yes, those older travellers. You can visit most corners of the world with them, but still the feeling persists that it's a niche type of holiday. Is the cruise holiday the one for you? Fionn Davenport is here to tell us more. Fionn, what is the attraction? What explains this growth in cruise holidays?
So it is, as you say, one of the world's fastest growing tourism sectors. There are 80 odd companies, 60 million passengers, well, between 16 and 20 million passengers, covering most of the world, to be honest. Now, obviously, the shorelines of the world. I think number one is that it's the cheapest starred holiday you'll have. So if you go for a 3-star cruise, it'll be the cheapest 3-star holiday you have, the cheapest 4-star, and so on. So you can go up, obviously, and pay for 5-star holidays, etc. One, you're visiting multiple destinations and unpacking only once. After that, all your board is taken care of. You don't have to worry about food. You don't have to worry about anything like that. I think what has happened is the cruise industry, which, as you said in the intro, was the preserve of older, less mobile passengers, they realised there's massive growth spurts. So the average age of the first-time cruiser is under 40 now. So what they've done is all the big companies have decided to appeal to this new demographic. So ships are modern. Ships are really beautiful. Take a beautiful hotel and imagine it floating on water. The food offerings are extraordinary. So all the cruise companies have invested a huge amount of effort and money in their food. So no longer that kind of the bad buffet or the fixed sit-down meal. You have signature restaurants on most of the big cruise ships. When you arrive in said destination, it's an easy way of visiting these places. Now, so these are the pros, and the pros are very, very strong. I mean, absolutely very, very strong indeed.
And the cons?
Well, you have less exploration time, obviously. You know, ships can't go inland. So, you know, you're going to Venice or you're going to Barcelona or you're going to the Caribbean and you're spending a day there. Like, you're going to see a tiny sliver of what is on offer. It's an ersatz experience for a lot of people who are going, the idea of just being disgorged in a destination only to get back on the ship at the end of the day is not a great one. There are fewer destinations, obviously. And there is indeed a lesser sense of place. And so, you know, you can spend 3 or 4 days in, I mentioned Venice because Venice is one of the most popular destinations in Europe.
Well, you might be the most welcome of visitors.
And that's the other big con. And the cruise industry has been hit very, very hard by this, is that it's an odd form of tourism in that you're disgorging, as I said, the big ships disgorge maybe 3,000-4,000 passengers in a destination who actually don't spend that much money in situ. So what you get is all of the inconvenience of tourism, but none of the benefits. Their eco credentials aren't very, very good, despite the fact that a lot of ships are looking to address this by putting solar panels on their ships. Hurtigruten, one of the ship companies, they've announced plans to have a ship that's fueled entirely by biomass, so made from dead fish or fish scales or something like. But no, absolutely. I mean, there are some serious cons. Dublin Port is restructuring all of its own port facilities. So they've reduced cruise tourism from 150 ships down to 80 from 2021 for 2 or 3 years after that, and then bulking it back up. But sorry, before I finish, this is the point here. Cork and Belfast have reacted with great concern because one of the things that cruise tourism is a huge boon to the overall economy. Mm-hmm. And that's what they want.
Now, the cost, and you talked about how if it's a 3-star, it'll be the best 3-star,
yeah,
and so on. But there's the initial cost, but veterans, I think, will warn you,
yes,
to be wary of hidden costs.
Well, if it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. So when you have lead-in prices of, say, oh, cruise, 8 days, $399, yeah, I mean, that's not a bad lead-in. But what you're getting is an interior stateroom, so you're getting a cabin without a window. Your food, like the buffet, is included, but none of the extras. So no Wi-Fi, no alcohol, no shore excursions, etc., etc. This is a basic price. So what is effective? You're paying for room only, which on the other hand, is that, well, isn't that the way it is? When you pay for a hotel, you get a lead-in price for a hotel. It mightn't include breakfast. It mightn't include the suite or the upgrade. And so it is. But so you have to consider that for a week-long cruise in the Mediterranean, which is now roughly 50% of all cruise passengers worldwide, roughly you're going to spend, for a decent cruise, anywhere from 1,000 to 2,600 euro per passenger based on cabin sharing, and that's for the week. But that's all in, everything included.
Mm-hmm. And then they make their money how?
Well, like Vegas hotels, what they do is they discount the room and they make their money in alcohol and they make their money in shore excursions. So the alcohol is, I mean, you can pay for your drinks willy-nilly as you buy them, but they're expensive because you're on board and you're a captive audience. So the vast majority of cruise passengers, what they buy is a drinks ticket. So it gives you unlimited access to hot drinks or cold drinks, but also alcohol. And that can add up a bit. So you might be tacking on an extra 300 or 400 to the cost of the cruise. The second thing is shore excursions. Now, I've been on a good number of cruises, and I have to say, as someone who is an independent traveller, I was so pleasantly surprised. I enjoyed cruising on. I really did. I'll address some of the things that I was afraid of. But the shore excursions are uniformly poor, as far as I'm concerned.
Did you think that? Well, yeah. On the one and only cruise I ever did.
You had a good... You see, I knew that was it. It's always...
No,
it's.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, Abu Dhabi, red bus, yeah, with the open top... You know,
see, I've done that one as well.
It was
enough
for me.
It's fine. It's a good intro, isn't it?
And with a two-hour visit to the Louvre, or maybe a little longer.
Okay, but here's... So this is...
That's the Louvre in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, the Louvre. Now, my point is this. Again, if you are... If you are looking for a no-thought applied experience, then sure, take the shore excursion. What they do is they charge a huge amount of money, yes, relative to what you get. And so, for the most part... If you go to the port and you have a little bit of a sense of adventure, get off the ship and there are taxis waiting for you. Pick where you want to go and just go. Go in a taxi. It costs you a fraction of what that excursion will cost you. So generally, the things to avoid, well, the panoramic bus tour is, I always find a bit, ugh, whatever. Anything with ultimate in the title. Now, so they have... Ultimate Tuscany. I don't know. They might fit Pisa, Florence, and then wine tasting in on the one day. Now, Sean, you and I both know that, like, there's only so much juice you can squeeze out of a lemon. And if you get on one of these, you end up, you see nothing, and you come home knackered because they're shoving you this way, this way. You have no sense of enjoying the actual experience. In the Caribbean, the day at the beach experiences are always a bit weird as well, because what you do is you have access to a beach that's basically closed off. Yeah, sure, you can do everything you want there. But like, if you just get off the ship and go and explore an island, I think it's a much more rewarding experience.
Fair enough. I text one of our listeners, what kind of activities are offered on board? I have 3 children aged 4 to 11. Are there options for them in regard to keeping them occupied?
Okay, so a lot of cruise ships have kids clubs, because one of the things is the family market is hugely significant to cruises. Now, remember as well, cruises... More than anything, their Bible is repeat customers. So they don't want you to just to try it once and then go, eh. They want to wow you so that you will become, maybe not every holiday you ever take, but that you will take over successive subsequent years, that you will take repeat cruises. So, and families are hugely important. So, for example, you get on a Royal Caribbean ship, and these are like the biggest ships in the world, and you know, and they dominate like a share of the cruise market. But they have a variety of ships of relative size, and everything. You can go surfing on board, zip lining. There's theatres for kids. I mean, it really is. It's like, I compared it to like, it's this small compact town with everything you could possibly want to do, all on, say, 9
and
decks.
They've even got the theatre, and one of our listeners saying even the entertainment is better on cruises compared to years ago.
Oh yeah, there's no comparison between, say, first cruise I ever went on was 20 years ago in the Caribbean, and I was bored senseless. The last one I went on was a couple of years ago, And I have to say, even as I said, as an independent traveller, I was genuinely entertained. Really. And the theatre, it's like going to a Vegas
show.
Yeah,
I'd give them that as well. The one experience I had. Sean, I hate formality when on holidays. If I'm on a cruise, do I have to dress up for dinner and go through all this palaver, says Tony Kilkenny. But one thing you might have to do, though, is sit at the same same table with strangers with whom you may or may not get on.
Okay, so
for
when
a week.
When you buy your ticket, you're given a dining time. So whatever it is, 6:30, 8:30, whatever it is. You don't have to stick to it. You don't. One of the good insider tips is talk to the bell captain straight away and go, look, if you don't like the 6:30 one they gave you, they might give you a different one. But this is my point. You don't have to dine in that restaurant. There are, on a big cruise ship, there's 9 other restaurants to choose from, and then there's the buffet. Any cruise I've ever been on, I've dined once in the dining room and never again for the rest of the week.
I love this one. I went on a cruise for my honeymoon. It was full of the newlywed, the overfed and the nearly dead. And I hope they've changed.
It's not an inaccurate description. One of the things to bear in mind, and men particularly have the boredom factor that puts them off the idea of a cruise. It's like, oh God, what am I going to... The thing is if you don't want to see the same, if you don't want to be running into the same people, you will never run into people unless you plan to on a cruise ship.
The value. Where's the value?
Well, the value is, as I said at the top, is that for a fixed price.
You've been looking at some...
Oh, sorry, yeah. Okay, so here's a good one for you, right? So let's say with Tour America, an 8-night fly cruise, which includes your flights to Miami, departing the 31st of August of this year, $1,499 for an 8-night Caribbean cruise, includes one night in Miami and your flights, and that's really, really good. So that's with clickandgo.com. If you want to go to do the Alaska cruises for $18.99 per person, sharing, traveling on the September 5th with touramerica.ie, that is, and that's on Celebrity Solstice, which is one of the newer ships. If you want to stay in the Mediterranean, say going next April, from $1,369 per person, sharing on MSC Sinfonia. And that's again includes you're going to visit Barcelona, Marseille, Genoa, Naples, Messina, Valletta. Again, these are kind of good prices. What they all include is ocean view rooms. So the one tip I would say is if you're going to spend the money on an ocean view room. Even though you don't spend that much time on the ship, there's something a bit claustrophobic.
It's nice to be able to sit out, as they say.
Yeah.
Now, here's a word of caution. Now, admittedly, somebody with maybe a vested interest, Colette from MD Travel. This is all very fine if you want to do your own excursion, but if you don't get back in time for the departure time, you're screwed.
Well, I mean,
I would always recommend that clients take the organised trips for that reason.
Well, I mean, in fairness to Colette, she's not wrong in the sense, but like you have to give each person a modicum of responsibility. It's like, look, it's up to yourself. You've got to get back on time.
And before you go on the 3-month world cruise, maybe try a shorter one.
Oh, yeah,
just in case you don't like
it. Absolutely.
Fionn, thank you very much indeed. Fionn Davenport there.